on who shall stand in his holy place. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O ye gates, even lift him up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence. Let
Oh, God, we pray this morning for those in hospitals and nursing facilities. Oh, God, we pray, oh, God, this morning, oh, God, for Michael Chambers this morning and Mona Chambers this morning. We pray, oh, God, this morning for Antonio Poindexter this morning. We pray this morning, Father God, for Mother Poindexter this morning, Father God. We pray for every bereaved family this morning, Father God. Father God, you know, oh, God, our hearts and our minds and our spirits, oh, God. Just continue, Father God, to lead us and guide us and strengthen us from one degree to another, Father God. And we will forever give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory all the days of our lives, Father God. Because, Father God, when we look back over our lives and we think things over, Father God, we can truly say, Father God, that we have been blessed, Father God, and we have not one testimony, not two testimonies, but we have many testimonies this morning, Father God, because of your goodness, because of your grace, because of your faithfulness, because of your kindness, because of your love, Father God. We thank you this morning, and we bless your name this morning. And we ask all of these petitions in the mighty and matchless and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen. Thank you for having sight. Amen. With a fervent prayer. Amen. Amen. God is still a prayer answering God. And he's still answering our prayers. And we thank God today that he's still answering our prayers. Amen. I know that God is the one, amen, that has all of the power. Amen. That he can do anything but fail. Amen. There's a song, amen, you guys heard us talk a little bit about it this morning, number 279 in your hymnal, and it's entitled Standing on the Promises. And when you are able to stand on the promises, amen, of God, yeah, you're not standing on something, amen, that we can take lightly. When God promises it, amen, it's going to happen, amen. And there used to be a saying, you can take that to the bank, amen. But even when the bank fails, come on down. God, amen, got more than enough. I'm like, you ain't say amen. I said, God's got more than enough, amen. And whatever you stand in the need of, amen, God will provide. And so, the first verse is, standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Last time you shouted for the Lord. Amen. And it says, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing on the promises of God. Amen. Yes. Standing on the promises that came of Christ my King. Through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Verse 2. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of God and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Verse 4. Standing on the promises I cannot fail. Listening
Answering only to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Thank God. Amen. See, when you're standing on the promises, they cannot fail through eternal ages. And when you understand, amen, that the same God that blessed you with those promises when you were the little person, amen, when you was a little boy or when you was a little girl, amen, the same God that blessed you back then, amen, is the same God that's blessing you right now. I think I'm going to say that again. The same God that blessed you back then, amen, is the same God that's blessing you right now, amen. Aren't you glad today, amen, that the promises of God, amen, do not fail, amen. And if God said it back when you was a little boy or a little girl, amen, I don't know what age you are today, amen, his promises are still good. Look at somebody and say, God's promise is still good, amen. And when you understand that God is good, amen, and his promises are still good, amen, when you begin to realize the things of the world are shaking, amen, but you can stand on the promises of God, amen. In other words, God will do exactly what he said he would do. In other words, God is the one, amen, when everybody else lets you down, God is the one, amen, that will step up and step out, amen, and let you know, amen, that I've got your back. Aren't you glad today, amen, that God's got this thing, that God's got your back. When you're worrying about it, God has already worked it out, and you can stand on the promises of God. I believe it was the Hebrew writer said, and having done all to stand some more. In other words, God said you can put on the whole armor of God, and you can stand and trust in God's armor, that God's power, that God's ability to keep you and keep us will never fail. And when you understand that, amen, truly, we can stand on the promises of God. Amen. And we have a testimony, amen. Somebody said, I'm still standing. Amen. Somebody said, I'm still holding on to God's unchanging hand. I'm still holding on to the promises of God. I know, amen, that he may not come when I want him to, but I know that God is an on-time God. Have I got a witness in the building today that God is an on-time God, amen? Just when you thought it wasn't going to happen, amen? Just when you felt like throwing in the towel, just when you thought, amen, it was all over, God will step in, God will show up, God will show out, God will turn the situation around, God will make a way out of no way, and he'll do it over and over and over. If somebody say, I was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. There were times in my life, amen, where I didn't have nowhere to go, no one to turn to, but when you turn to God, amen, God will come in and show you, amen, who he is, amen, and what he can do in your life, amen. When you triumph for yourself, amen, when you know that you know that you know that you know, amen, you can't make you turn around, amen. Somebody said, you can't make me doubt him because I know what too much about him. Hallelujah. We thank God for the saints of the old, so I can hear that song ringing in the old church. Amen. Dr. Sykes, somebody say, standing on the promises of God. Now, I might have been roughed up. I might have been torn down. But I'm still what? Standing on the promises of God. I've been through some rough nights. I've been through some sleepless nights. But I'm still what? Standing on the promises of God. I've had a few ups and a few downs. I had some aches and pains in my life. Somebody ought to say amen. But I was still what? Standing on the promises of God. I've been called everything but a child of the King. Amen. Everything but a child of God. But I was still what? standing what on the promises of God. I've gone through some things, and I don't look like what I've been through because I'm still what? Standing what on the promises of God. Amen. I've been down to my last dollar, my last dime. Amen. But some kind of way God kept me, and I'm still what? Standing on the promises of God. My car broke down. Something in my house broke down. Something happened in my life. Something happened to my health. I was still standing on the what? Promises of God. Husband went astray. Kids went astray. Dog went astray. But I'm still what? Standing on the promises of God. Oh God. Job got shown. Job got taken. But I'm still what? Standing on the promises, what? Oh, God. All those things that the enemy tried to put in your way. Look at somebody, I'm still standing. I'm still standing. But I'm not standing on my own. I'm standing on the what? The promises of God that what? Cannot what? Fail. The promises of God that cannot what? Fail. And when you're standing on that promise, you're on some sure foundation.
That's right.
Some sure footing. Amen? Right. Because if you live long enough, man going to show you who he is. Lord have mercy. He's a fallen character just like all the rest of us. Amen? And we need to continue to stand on the promises of God. There might be someone have a testimony this morning. So we're going to ask, amen, you have a testimony this morning. We're going to start over here with Dr. Benzik. Amen. You have a testimony of standing on the promises of God.
Good morning, heart of God. Good morning, Pastor Case.
Good morning.
First Lady Case, just praise God this morning. Thank you for the Son Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm standing on the promises of God. And on the way to church, I heard the song, "We come this far by faith."
Oh,
leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He has never failed us yet. And truly, I can say for myself, God has not failed me. God has been right here with me, regardless of what I've been through. Even when I didn't know him for myself, he still was right beside me. So I thank him this morning for being that all-present Savior. I thank God for my family. I thank him for loved ones. And I just pray that church continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand.
Yes,
because he is not finished yet. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Good morning, Heart of God Baptist Church. Good morning, Pastor and First Lady. Truly, God is a good God. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty and a great God. And truly, I am standing, truly, on the promises of God. I'm standing on a firm foundation.
Yeah.
And I thank God for that firm foundation because down through the years, God has shown himself mightily in my life and in all of our lives. And so I praise God this morning for who he is, for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he's going to do in the future. Because God is just so awesome,
yes.
The awesomeness of God.
Yes.
And so I thank God this morning to be in the service one more time. I thank God this morning that I'm able to lift up holy hands.
Yes.
I thank God this morning that I'm able to say something with my voice. I'm able to speak. I'm able to see. I'm able to hear. A lot of people take those things for granted and think they don't matter until you can't hear and you can't see and you can't walk and you can't talk. But I thank God this morning for all the faculties that I have in my body. And so God is a good God. Yes, he is. God is a great God. Yes, he is. And so we thank God this morning and we bless his name. God bless you all today.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Testimony in the back. Amen. About the goodness of the Lord, about standing on the promises of Christ, my Savior. Amen. Praise God.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I thank God because I'm standing on the promises. And trusting him with this mustard seed faith. God can do and will do.
Yes,
he said he will do. And he has brought me from mighty, mighty long way. And you don't feel me yet.
That's right.
And truly I can
and
say.
And never will.
What can I do to become God? God, he's been there, even though sometimes I thought he was not there, but I know he's there all in all.
Yes.
So that is when you have another mustard seed faith, then know he's there.
That's it.
And so I just thank God for that mustard seed faith.
Yeah.
Truly, he's been a good God for me and to my family. And to the heart of God.
Yes,
I always come to the heart of God. And what I can say, because I don't see what God done in my family and in the heart of God.
That's right.
He's just been there for all of us.
Yes,
and I thank God for that. Not too much more to say, but just thank God and keep on trusting God that he will still through. So we're still standing on that promise.
Yes.
But when God promises, when he promises something, he's going to do what he said he's going to do.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. Thank you for my first lady. Good morning, first lady.
Good morning, heart of God.
Good morning.
What can I say? God is a great God, and he will do exactly what he said, and we're all standing on his promises, that he will keep us, and that he will take care of us, and that he will provide for us. And he's doing that daily. And heart of God, we just have to keep standing on the promises of God, and he will not fail. Man will fail, but he will not fail. And he is keeping us as long as he know how. And we put our faith in him. We put our trust in him. And he has totally done exactly what he said. Heart of God, keep holding on, keep standing, and keep running for the Lord. And just keep on doing exactly what he said that he would do for us and what we would do for him. And you all have a blessed week. I love you all. Sending out air hugs and kisses. And I know that soon we are all going to be together.
Yeah,
Heart of God Baptist Church. Have a blessed week.
Amen. First Lady, for her testimony this morning. We've got some folks on the line this morning. We want to give a testimony for the Lord. Amen. We will be back in heaven. We go to our first caller. And that's going to be 7611. Good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Gave me another second chance to stand up on my feet this morning and open my eyes up to a new, brand new day. Okay, thankful, Father, that you have brought me a long, long way and look back at all the mistakes and the things I'm going through and the things I've done. And I'm so thankful, Father, that you gave my eyes another chance to look back at the day and said, it's been so good to me and you brought me a mighty long way. And I thank you, Father, for this day that I woke up in church this morning and be glad that you gave me that second chance to look back at life and say, thank you, Father, for being so good to me that you have brought me a mighty long way. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. I'm going to go to our next worshiper. Last 4 digits, 1718. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. First Lady, I phoned this morning. I've been sitting up here in the days with God knows. God is good to me, and I thank him, and I praise him this morning for all that he has done for me. I want to thank my pastor, my first lady, my church members, and thank God for giving you all to me, all the people that have prayed for me since I have been home trying to convalesce and get myself back on track. I've been going through some things, but in spite of God, he's been a good God. He is a good God. He's kept me. He keeps on blessing me, protecting me, and providing for me. I can truly say that I am standing on the promises of God. He, just when you think you're not going to make it, comes and brings you right on up back out of that whatever that you go through when things go wrong in your life. He's always there, keeping his promises to you and healing you where you need to be healed, lifting you up where you need to be lifted up. I just thank God this morning for everything. He's a good God. All of them, and he has blessed me tremendously. And for that, I say thank you, God, for all of your love, all of your goodness that you have not for me, but for all of us.
Amen.
I truly say that we are standing on the promises of God. You all be blessed. Enjoy your day. And touch someone else with a prayer. In Jesus' name, I stand and move on the promises with you. Hallelujah to his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. Truly, we are blessed to be able to know God for ourselves. Amen. We know that we can stand on the cross. And we thank God for all of the testimonies in the church and around the world, through the internet, wherever you tune in. We thank you for tuning in to Heart of God Church. We continue to lift up the name of Jesus. We started our service earlier today. We said, and I be lifted up from the earth. He would draw all men from himself. So, we thank God today that he's continuing to draw men, women, boys, and girls to his side, amen. And there's nothing like, amen, knowing that you've been saved, amen, sealed, and sanctified, amen, by God's power and his Holy Spirit. And we don't take it granted as we celebrate this fourth Sunday, the seventh fourth Sunday in the year of our Lord, 2023, my how time flies, amen. We know that God is the one that kept us from January, amen, all the way up to July, amen. Give him some praise, amen. Some days,
good morning, amen. Pastor First Lady.
But we know God is the one that specializes in things that we call impossible.
Okay.
Thank God, amen, that he just continues to show himself mighty in all of our lives, amen. And I tell you, that's just who God is, amen. Amen. He is the one, amen, that will do exceedingly above all that we could ever hope or ask or think, amen. In other words, he just goes out and just shows us, amen, who he is, amen, and what he can do, amen. That's the kind of God he is, amen. And the thing I like about God, amen, is that he's a good God. He ain't showing off, amen, just he's showing off, but he's showing off, amen, for good, amen. A lot of times, yeah, people show off just to be showing off, amen. God will show you who he is, amen. Amen. You can't help but to give him glory, amen. Find yourself talking about hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen, because of how good God has been. Amen. But we want to not forget to go to the Lord in prayer. That's what's kept us all these years. And I tell people we're going on 20 years, amen, as a ministry of Heart of God Baptist Church. And 20 years, I said, yeah, it's nothing but the prayers of the righteous, amen, that have availed much. Because we've had ups and we've had downs. God has continued to bless us, amen. God has continued to keep us. God has continued to meet us where we are, amen. Every time we come together, when the word says where two or three are gathered in his name, my God has always showed up, amen. And I thank God for his faithfulness, amen. Even when we weren't faithful, God always showed up, amen, and blessed us over and over again. So I'm going to ask Reverend Lindsay at this time to get ready to lead us in prayer. I'm going to ask him part of our body, those that are in sickness and those that are out of service for whatever reason. Remember our presence. President and Vice President, President Biden, Vice President Harris, from our Congress people, our men and women in Congress, amen. Remember the Senate and the House. Remember all of our school teachers and children getting ready to go back to school. Got a little more time out on summer break, but many are heading back at the end of or in the middle of August, and we want to pray that they have a safe year. Pray for all of the local and state government officials. Pray for our men and women in uniform. Pray for those that are in war-torn countries and all of those that are seeking but unable to find, amen, and the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and say, what must I do to be saved?
Let us pray. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we come this morning with a heart of gratitude and praise. We come, Father, thanking you for your many blessings. Just bringing us to your house of worship one more time. We thank you for another fourth communion Sunday, oh God. We thank you, Jesus, for being our sacrificial lamb. We thank you, Father, because you looked on us, and you knew that we needed a Savior. And in spite of what it looked like or feel like this morning, oh God, you still extending that same grace and mercy toward us. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for that hand of love, oh God, that you continue to shout to us with day by day. And Father God, I pray in the precious name of Jesus that as you look on every heart this morning, oh God, that if you're seeing a thing that's not pleasing, Father, I pray that you will just cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And, oh, God, through the precious blood of Jesus, that you will continue to sanctify us, continue to make us whole and complete in you, continue to heal us through your word, oh, God. We thank you, Father. We thank you for all the sacrifices that you've done for us this week, oh, God. We thank you, Father God, because you made a way out of nowhere. Father God, there were times when we didn't even know what to say or what to do. But we praise you, Father, for the power of your Holy Spirit, oh God, that spoke for us, oh God. We thank you, Father. We love you and we give you glory today. We thank you, Father, because you've been a way maker, Father. Oh God, we just thank you for just being there in the time of need, being there in the time of trouble. Even though we've been through many storms and tribulations and hardships, but you still have been faithful. And we can praise you this morning because you are the all-sufficient Savior. We can praise you this morning because you're more than enough. We can praise you this morning because you are God and you're God all by yourself. And so we thank you, Father God. We thank you, we give you glory, and we give you honor. And Father God, I pray in your mighty name, Lord Jesus, that you will continue to bless this branch of life. Father God, you know what the heart of God stands in the need of.
Yeah.
So, oh God, I pray this morning that you will continue to supply our every need according to your riches and glory of through Christ Jesus. Oh God, we thank you for just keeping our doors open.
Yeah.
We thank you for giving us air conditioning,
yeah,
giving us light. We thank you for giving us cushion seats.
Yeah.
We thank you to be able to walk in here and to teach and to preach it, to praise your name.
Yeah.
We don't take it for granted, Lord Jesus. Because so many people don't even have a house of worship to go to. So many people can't even get up and come to your house of worship. So we give you glory this morning, Father. We thank you for the blessing this morning, oh God. We thank you because the power of the Holy Spirit is here, oh God. You didn't leave us by ourselves, but you were our comforter. You were our strength. You were our provider. Hey, hallelujah to your name. So we bless you this morning, Father. And Father God, I pray that you continue to look on this man's servant, Pastor Kayson, oh God. Continue to strengthen him, oh God. Continue to build him up, Father. Oh God, when he goes through the midnight hour, sometimes he wonders and he doubts, oh God. Oh, hallelujah, Holy Spirit. Remind him, Lord Jesus, that the journey sometimes might be tough, but you are seeing through the end, oh God. Give him the strength that he needs, oh God. Father God, and we pray here for the sheep, oh God,
yeah,
that you have placed at this place, oh God.
Yeah.
Father God, we pray that you will keep them strong in you, oh God.
Yeah.
Rooted and grounded, built up, oh God. Keep us united in your love, oh God, because we can't do nothing without your Father. And oh God, as we partake today of the Lord's Supper, Father God, it will keep us bound in your spirit.
Yeah.
Keep us bound in the grace of your mercy.
Yeah.
And Father God, let us know that we are your church, oh God. And you said, upon this rock I built my church. And you gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And oh God, let us know that we are on a solid foundation. In spite of what it looks like and feels like this morning, oh God, that we are rooted and we are grounded in you. And we thank you, Holy Spirit. And Father God, I pray for First Lady Kingston. I pray that you be her help and her strength today. Bless the first family in a special manner. And oh God, I pray for every member of the heart of God, from the least to the greatest, oh God. Strengthen them, oh God. Heal them, oh God. Keep them, oh God.
Yeah.
And Father God, I pray for Trustee Randolph.
Yeah.
I pray for giving Anita Bright. I pray for giving Daniel Bright. And I pray for Sister Stephen.
Yeah.
I pray for Mama Papa Richardson. And I pray, oh God, for all those members of the heart of God that are sick and afflicted. I pray for cancer patients everywhere.
Oh.
Kidney patients everywhere. Sugar diabetes and high blood pressure. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whatever the sickness is this morning, Father, I pray that you will touch us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Make them whole and complete in your Father. Oh, God, we know that you got the power, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. If they just touch them in with your garment, oh, Father, we know they shall be whole. And, Father God, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. And, oh, God, I pray right now, Jesus, that you will continue to keep your people, oh, God. Father God, continue to keep your church strong.
Yeah.
And then, Father God, for those that don't know you, Jesus, I pray that you would draw them nigh to your cross through the preached word, oh, God. And, Father God, I pray for every student. I pray for every teacher.
Yeah.
I pray for every parent and every God. Oh, God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will let this year be a blessing unto them. Protect them, oh God. Lead them, guide them, and direct them. And Father God, I pray that you will open up the door.
Yeah.
That the parents will receive the finances that they need. Oh God, that they will be able to educate their children. They'll be able to put some shoes on their feet and clothing on their back. But most of all, they'll be able to put some food on their table, oh God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will keep their houses covered, oh God. Pay their mortgage and their rent, oh God. Because you know what they need, Father. And we come thanking you this morning. We thank you for being Jehovah Jireh. We thank you for meeting every need. Because not only you give us physical needs, and you meet them, Lord Jesus, but you also supply our spiritual needs. And so we thank you this morning, God, because you never fail. And go right on time. And Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will continue, Father, to look on those on foreign soil, those that are in the military, those, Father God, behind prison walls. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will look on children this morning, throughout the world, everywhere, oh God. And I pray, Father, that you will be a comfort to those bereaved families that have lost children, oh God. Comfort those parents and guardians. Oh, God, bless us and be your strength. And, Father God, we love you. Please help us, oh, God, to stay humble in me. Continue to hold on to your word and continue to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that you have done, that you are doing, and that you will continue to do. And we love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank Reverend Lindsay, amen, for that fervent prayer. Amen. So, amen. God continues to bless us, continue to make ways for us, and we know that we continue to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us. And Bible teaches that even when we don't know what to pray for, we got our Holy Spirit on the inside. Amen. And it will make intercessions for us. Ain't the Lord all right? He didn't leave nothing to change.
Yeah.
Amen. And even when we're struggling sometimes, get the words together.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
That's why they call the Holy Spirit, amen, your helper. Amen. Your paraclete. Amen. Yes. Come alongside. Amen. Yes. Give you what you need. Amen. And give it to you when you need. Is that all right? Amen. We have to learn to rely on him. Amen. His power.
That's right.
We have been blessed. Last Sunday, we were talking about faith. Okay? And last Sunday, we talked about how a woman's faith was so strong, man, that even when Jesus told her, amen, that that the word would go to the Jews, why should he give the word to the Gentiles? And she told him, amen, that even the dogs, amen, get crumbs, amen, off the master's table, amen. Jesus said, oh, woman, go to that verse. How great is thy faith, even as your faith has said it would be, amen. Sunday before that, we talked about the mustard seed faith, and when the disciples couldn't heal the lunatic, amen. Jesus said that if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, that you could speak to yonder mountain, and the mountain would be removed, amen. And all of these things are pointing, amen, toward the faith of the church, amen. And now through the years up against great opposition, amen, the church has continued to move forward, amen. And the reason why, amen, is because God has given power, amen, to the church. Amen. We look at these things together. It says that we have faith in the power of God. Amen. And when you have faith in the power of God, amen, you can move forward and do what God has commanded the church to do. So that's why we talked about faith. Amen. We didn't want you to be discouraged. Amen. About the ups and downs of ministry, amen. Going on 20 years in ministry, amen. We've had our ups and we've had our downs. But because we rely by faith in the power of God, amen, we're still standing, amen. And some folks, when we started off saying we wouldn't make it, amen. But somebody, look at somebody and say, we're still standing. On the promises of God. And so what that allows us to do, amen, is allows us to get in a situation, amen, where we can go back into the word of God, amen, and find it to be refreshing, amen. It's a time for refreshing in the heart of God church, a time where we go back and we look back and we go looking forward to celebrating 20 years, amen, and we can refresh, amen, ourselves in the Lord, amen, and be encouraged, amen, to go on a little further down the road, amen. And every now and then I find myself, amen, in a place, amen, where I'm reading or studying the word of God and it becomes refreshing, amen.
Yeah.
And it gives me strength. It gives me the ability to continue to go on. Amen. And, a couple weeks ago, we said that we were going to fast in whatever way so what we are looking at today, amen, is how the church first started, amen. And if you look at how the church first started, amen, they didn't have a whole lot, amen, but they had the Holy Ghost. And we got a witness. And those that they did have, amen, were in one place on what? One accord, amen? And through this simple faith, Dr. Sykes, amen, the gospel has made it some 2,000 years, amen, down to you and I, amen? And it just started off with, I believe it was like 12 disciples and 120, amen, folk, men and women, amen? And through those faith of those folk, amen, God used them, amen, to turn the world, what, upside down. He used them, amen, to spread this gospel in this evil and perverse generation, amen, because they didn't rely on themselves. Look at somebody say, they didn't rely on themselves, but they relied on the power of God. And God gave them a command in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then he said, and lo, I will what? Be with you what? Always, even until the end of the world, what? Amen. In other words, when God has instructed the church, when he has instructed us, amen, to go and to do, amen, he's not expecting us to go and to do by ourselves. Look at somebody and say, God didn't leave us by ourselves. And God didn't put Dr. Lindsay the responsibility of folks getting saved upon us. Lord, have mercy. Have I got a witness? And so the tendency of the church is to say, well, folks, we're not seeing folks get saved. We're not seeing folks join the church. We're not seeing folks coming out of the world and getting baptized and doing the things of God. But the truth is, amen, that's not what God sent us to do. The only thing that God sent us to do is to be a witness, amen, and tell somebody, amen, about the gospel of the good news, what, of Jesus Christ. Somebody say that's our responsibility. Amen. Let's look at Acts, the first chapter. We're going to be looking at Acts, first chapter, and some of the stuff on chapter 2. And this is going to be refreshing for us to understand, amen, what God, amen, is and continuing to do, amen, among people that are not saved. And all of us live among people that are not saved, amen. Beginning at verse 1, Acts 1, it says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And so the writer, the Apostle Paul, is saying, I need to explain to you about what Jesus began to do and to what teach. And so the beginning of the church age, amen, is still about what Jesus began to teach and to do. And so our responsibility as a church body is to continue to tell people about what Jesus began to teach, what, and to do. Yeah. He said, until the day which he was taken up after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And so Jesus, amen, did what he was commanded to do. That he was obedient to the Father, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And after he had accomplished his death, his burial, his resurrection through his earthly ministry, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he was resurrected, amen. And the Lord received him to himself because he presented an acceptable sacrifice for the sins of the world. And the record said that he entered into the holies of holies, presented his blood, his body, and God accepted the sacrifice for the sin of the world, and he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And so he has completed and has victory over death in the grave. And even though the record tells us that the wages of sin is death, because of what Jesus did, we have the eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when Jesus was coming to the end of his earthly ministry, God instructed him to pick disciples and gave them commandments through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 3, it says, to whom also he showed himself alive and after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And in verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. So in other words, Jesus gave them this command, but he didn't expect them to carry out the command in their own power. We are limited, amen, in the things that we can do on our own. And we cannot continue to serve in ministry, amen, if we do it on our own power. But we have to rely on the Holy Spirit's power for us to be able to minister to the community that God wants us to communicate to. In verse 5, he says, well, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with what? The Holy Ghost, not many days, what? Hence. In other words, Jesus demonstrated, Jesus taught, Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out the water, and John the Baptist said, I have need to be baptized with you, and you want me to baptize you? And Jesus said, suffer it so to be so now, before it fulfills us to fulfill the prophecy of God. And in that moment, that you saw the descendant of the Holy Spirit came on and lightened upon him, and he started his Holy Spirit ministry, and God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am what? Well pleased. And so Jesus came in the flesh. Jesus operated as God and man at the same time, but because he relied on the Holy Spirit, he was able to carry out without sin, amen, the will and the teaching and the commandments of God. And so God is expecting us to carry out, amen, the teachings and the commandments of God, amen, through the power of what? Of the Holy Spirit. And so in verse 6 it says, when they therefore come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And verse 7, he says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. In other words, God didn't say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. He didn't say, amen, and this is when this one's going to get saved, and this one's going to get saved, and then this one's going to turn from the world, and then this one. He didn't say that, but not to say, he simply said, go. And they would say, well, when is the kingdom going to get restored? Jesus said, if not for you to know when the kingdom is going to be restored. That's in the power of the Father. That's his privileged knowledge. And so all we need to focus in on is what? Going and doing the will of God. And whether it's rainy, whether it's cloudy, whether it's a good time, whether it's bad time, we are continued to be asked to what? Go. And so when you see this, it makes it clear to us, amen, that the responsibility of the Holy Spirit-filled church, amen, is not to worry about who's getting saved and when they get saved and who's coming out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Our assignment, amen, is to go and teach and preach and spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you have that understanding, what it does, it takes the pressure and the responsibility, amen, and makes it bearable, because the ultimate burden, amen, is not placed upon us, but it's placed upon the power and the working of the Holy Spirit of God. And so you say, well, what else do we need to understand, Brother Preacher? In verse 8 it says, but ye shall what? Receive what? Power After that, the what? Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. And so the primary thing for the church to do is to be a what? Witness. And we can't witness in our own strength and our own power, but God says, I know it's difficult to witness, so I'm going to give you the power of the what? The Holy Spirit, so you can witness to me. That you can witness for me. And he says, both unto me, he says, that you shall be witness unto me, both in what? Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the what? Uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, the kingdom of God is not going to come to this earth until the witnesses, amen, have gone into all the earth and told those that were on the earth about the good news of Jesus Christ. And so what that does is that narrows the focus of what the church should be doing, Lord have mercy. It narrows the focus on our responsibility. It narrows the focus of what we should be focused in on. The primary thing that we should be focused in on is being witnesses unto God. Look at somebody say, are you witnessing? Look at somebody say, can I get a witness? And when you understand this, what that does is it takes the pressure, it takes the burden, it takes the worry, amen, about who's getting saved off of you and off of me. When we look at this world and we look at the things that are happening in the world, and we can't help but to wonder in our humanness, why are these people doing this? Why aren't they being saved? Why aren't they listening to the word of God? Why aren't they coming to church? Why aren't they being baptized? Why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they doing that? God said, that's not your word. He said, what you're supposed to do is what? Witness. Let's see what he said. And Dr. Lindsay in verse 9, he says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. In other words, Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to witness. And this is the power that I'm going to give you to witness. And then he said, I'm out. So how in the world did the church get caught up in all this other stuff that we do? How do we get caught up in all these other things that we do? When Jesus said, your primary focus is to rely on the Holy Spirit to witness of me. Because the primary thing is for folks to be saved, and they can't get saved by all these other things. They need to hear the word of God, repent, and by faith receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that should be our focus. Let's look what he said. And when he had spoken these things, they beheld that he was taken up in a cloud and received him out of their sight. Verse 10, it was so interesting. And while he looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel as he was ascending, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. In other words, Jesus is going to go. He's going to come back just the way they saw him left. Very simple. In other words, the clock started running. Anybody ever seen a time, a watch, when people take time like that? When Jesus ascended, the clock started. The period of grace started when he ascended, saved by grace through faith. And there's going to come a time where you're going to hit that clock and the grace period is going to be over and then the tribulation period is going to start. And so our focus should be telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ in the midst of the grace period. Because we don't want anyone to have to suffer in the tribulation period. We should be focused in on telling and being witness. Jesus says, this is what I want you to do. This is the power I will give you to do it. I'm going back to the Father, and when I come back again, amen, the period of grace, the hand of grace is going to be withdrawn, and then immediately the church will be raptured, and the tribulation period is going to stop. And so our primary focus, and we used to do this in our lab, that we used to do it every Sunday, amen, when we were at the school. Every Sunday. And people were saved, amen. And people were added to the church, amen. And it wasn't anything that we did on our own, but it was because we were fulfilling the great command of Jesus Christ. And when you fulfill that great command, amen, God will do what is necessary through the power of the Holy Spirit, that whosoever will be saved will be what? Saved. And after that, amen, the spirit of grace is gone, that hand of grace is withdrawn, and the rest is history. And so when we understand that, we give ourselves a focus, amen, of what we should be doing. And let's look at verse 12. It says, then returned they to Jerusalem from the Mount Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come, and they went into the upper room, both Peter and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brother. In other words, they were in one place, one accord, praying and breaking bread, and men and the women together. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of names together were about 120. And his brethren, this scripture must needs be have been fulfilled with the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David faith before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. In other words, they're talking about Judas and what he did. Now they were going to add another apostle, so there would be the 12 apostles again. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. And that's one of the things when we see people come and they're part of ministry and then they're no longer with you. You think, amen, that they are still supposed to be with ministry, but some folk ain't supposed to be with ministry, amen?
Amen.
Because some of them, amen, are in it for the wrong reason.
That's right.
Amen, right?
Right.
So Jesus is letting, through the power of the Spirit, say, oh, this one was great. Can you imagine Jesus started his ministry and knew that one of them was going to be a demon? One of the 12 of them, amen. And one of them was the devil from that verse. Somebody start counting. One, two, three, devil. One, two, three, devil. One, two. Don't y'all start counting. Lord have mercy. Amen. But the devil eventually, amen, will get wrung out. So he says in verse 18, now this man purchased a field with void iniquity and falling headlong. He burst the sun in the midst of all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto the dwellers of Jerusalem and such as the field is called the proper tongue of Seldomout, that is to say the field of blood. In other words, he met it just in. So he allowed the enemy, Satan, to use him. Verse 24, it is written in the book of Psalms, let this habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take. In other words, he was an apostle, but he followed the devil. And so his position was taken. Verse 21, wherefore these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. In other words, God will bring new apostles. God will bring new folk, amen, that will fulfill and take the place, amen, that those who were not, amen, fit for ministry. Amen. In other words, don't think, amen, God has forgotten about the church. Amen. And those folks that started off, amen, and couldn't live up to the word and follow Satan, and for whatever reason, they're no longer there, amen. Don't think, amen, and this is what some of them think, that the church can't go on without them, amen. But don't think God is slack concerning his word, amen. And so when Judas got wrung out, amen, God had somebody else to take his place, amen. And that's the thing about the church. Too many times we worried about, amen, folks to get wrung out, amen, and think that God's going to leave us limited, amen. But how many of you know, amen, that God, amen, is a sustainer, amen, and that God will bring in whoever he wants to bring in when he wants to bring them in, amen? And so we ought not worry, amen, about those folks, amen, that started with us. That's what he said, right? He said Judas started with them, amen. But Judas is no longer with them, amen. And God will bring somebody else. Look at somebody say, God will bring somebody else to replace Judas.
Yes,
please. He said, wherefore these men which have accompanied us at the time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same, he was taken up from us, must one be ordained a witness, and is of the resurrection they appointed two, Joseph called Barabbas, and for surnamed Justice and Matthias, and they prayed and said, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen, that they may take part of the ministry and apostleship from which Judas was transgressing fell, that might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lot, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. In other words, God, amen, backfield, amen, when the devil, amen, took away, amen. And when we begin to understand, don't worry about the numbers, amen. God will supply the numbers that you need, amen. God will supply the people what that you need, amen. Don't worry, amen, if folk, amen, act like the devil and leave. Lord have mercy. But you understand, amen, that God knew that Judas was going to be the devil, amen, before he called him, amen. And he knew that eventually himself, amen, was going to slow up thinking, amen. He knew eventually that he was going to be betrayed, amen. And he knew, amen, that there would be a need for somebody else, amen, to continue on in ministry. Just understand that this didn't catch God by surprise. COVID didn't catch God by surprise. Devils in the church didn't catch God by surprise. Did I say that? Devils in the church didn't catch God by surprise. People, amen, think that God, amen, was surprised, but God knew exactly what he was doing, amen. And God had a place and a purpose and a time for this Judas to be involved in ministry, but in due time, amen, God, amen, rang him out. So, here they are, fortified, ready to do ministry. And in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in what? One place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled, what? With the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them, what? Utterances. So they had this unique ability, Dr. Sykes, amen, to speak and preach the gospel to the people, amen, of all those nations, amen, so they could understand. In other words, the ministry has the ability through the power of God to speak to the people that God wants them to speak to. Every individual church has an assignment, amen, and we can't worry about that person's assignment, that person's assignment. We can't worry about what that person's doing or that ministry's doing. We have to focus in on the ministry and the tongues that God gave us to speak and stay the course with what God gave us to speak. And a lot of times people will try to bring things to the church and say, well, they're doing that, or they're doing this, or they're doing this, and they're doing that. But we need to stay focused, amen, on what God told us to do. Lord have mercy. Too many times people get distracted because they want to do everything that everybody else is doing instead of doing the one thing that God told us what to do. And so he says in verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of what? Every nation under heaven. In other words, look at somebody and say, there's enough ministry to go around. There's enough witnessing what? To go around. Out of what? Every nation under heaven. In other words, the gospel is going to be spread, amen, from different ministries, from different people focusing in on different things, amen. But eventually it's going to spread, amen, to every nation under what? Under heaven. And it says, now this was noised abroad. The multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own what language. In other words, everybody that was in that location got what they needed. Amen? And it was provided, amen, because of the disciples, those 120 plus 12, amen, were able to speak and minister to all of those nations so that everybody heard the gospel in their own tongue, amen. And they were confounded because they were saying, this in verse in 7 it says, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? In other words, aren't all these people Galileans? How are they speaking in that nation, that nation, that nation, that nation, that nation? It's because of the power of the Holy Spirit understood who they were and what they needed. And so God's Holy Spirit gave that a group of people the ability to minister the way God wanted and intended them to minister. Says, and how hear every man in his own tongue where we were born. So what God is saying to the ministry is that there is a specific lane for you to minister in. There's a specific language for you to minister in. Don't worry about what somebody else is ministering, how they're ministering. Minister in the lane, in the language that, amen, you are to minister. Everybody can't minister the same. Everybody can't minister to those in the village. Everybody can't minister to young people. Everybody can't minister, amen, on an international level. Everybody can't minister on just a local level. But God knows that there's people international, people on the local level, people dealing with youth, middle-aged, people dealing with seniors. All of these things, amen, are ministries, amen. And so God is saying, he has the ability and the power and the people to minister to what he wants you to minister or what he wants you to do, amen, or what he's called you to do. And don't get tripped up, amen, because what you're doing is not what somebody else is doing. And so let's look at what it says in verse 9. Corinthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Persia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and what? Proselytes. In verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in a tongue the wonderful works of who? God. The wonderful works of what? God. And they didn't have the choice. God gave each one what their ministry was going to be. Sort of like how we fit into the body of Christ. We are many members, but what? One body. And God, because he paid the price, he has the authority to put us in the body the way he sees fit to do. Amen. Look, he says this is the body of Christ. And he'll put and place you where he wants you to be put. And so the hand can't say to the eye, or the foot say to the mouth, I won't be this, or I want to be this. We have to minister where God has placed us, what? To minister. So what is he saying? The wonderful works of God. So wherever God places you to minister, speak about the wonderful works of God. Some of us have been in jobs, and you've been in jobs, and you're like, Lord, why am I at this job? I've got a business. Why am I in this neighborhood? Or why am I over here? It's because God wants you, wherever you are, to speak the wonderful what? Works of God. I say, how is it? I've been complaining about the terrible works of men. Can't say anything. Say every time I go to that place, I'm talking about the terrible works of what? Of men. Huh? And God said, I'll place you there. Look at somebody say, I'll place you there. Amen. To speak about the wonderful works, what? Of God. But somewhere along the line, we got it what? Twisted. Yeah. Huh? And a lot of times you're there, amen, and God wants you to talk about the wonderful works of God, and we complaining and ain't giving nobody no kind of glory, amen, not even God. But all of these people, I know there are some folks that say, well, I want to talk to the Arabians, well, I want to talk to the Egyptians. God said, you're going to talk the way I told you to talk. And you're not going to talk about anybody else, but you're going to talk about the wonderful works of what I've done. Look what he says. Then you're going to have some folks that go mock you in your ministry. In verse 12, it says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what mean is this? And on verse 3, the others mocked him and said, these men are full of wine. Folks going to talk about your ministry. Look at somebody, said, he talks about Jesus. They going to talk about you. In verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 12, lifted up his voice and said to them, ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. And in verse 17, and it shall come to pass, and this is where folks get mad at women, Lord have mercy. This is where they get mad at young people. This is where they get mad at old people. This is where they get mad at everybody. Because Jesus is going to use you whether you're male, female, young, old. Look what he says. This is what Joel said. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon what? All flesh. Uh-oh. Look at somebody say, God can use you. And your sons and your what? Daughters. I'm meddling now. Shall what? Prophesy. And your young men. Young folk ain't sitting be in the church talking this. No. Your young men shall what? See what? Vision and what? And your old men shall what? Dream. Because I say God can use anybody as a witness to spread this word. Folks say you got too many young folk in your church. Folks say you got too many old folk. Folks say you got too many women. Folks say you got too many men. Folks say you got too many this, that, or the other. But God says he shall pour out his spirit upon all what flesh. And all my servants, verse 13, and all my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall what? Prophesy. And what's going to happen when they prophesy? And I will show what? Wonders in heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. In other words, God will perform and do miracles and wonders, amen, because his servants, the young men, the young women, the sons and the daughters, the maidens, the servants, and the old men, and the visions that they will speak and prophesy. And says, the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord. In other words, God has people that are going to go out and prophesy and teach and preach their word until the time comes where the hand of grace will be removed and the tribulation period will come. And so we need to follow God's assignment, amen. We should rely on God's power of the Holy Spirit to carry out what God has instructed and directed us to do and understand, amen, all of us, amen, have a work in ministry. Verse 21, this is it right here. Trustee Henderson, this is what it's all about. Church, verse 21. Look at somebody saying, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. This is our assignment. But as you go further down, and I'm not going to read all of this. If you look at verse 42, verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. to get baptized all the time. Folks are not telling people to repent, believe our Lord Jesus Christ, be baptized. Folks just telling them to name it, claim it. And all kind of other crazy stuff. But it says they needed to repeat the remission of sin. Go back to verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be what? Baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the what? The Holy Ghost. For the promise unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did they testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. We're not preaching enough of that. And then it says, then they gladly received the word, were baptized, and the same day there were what? Added unto them about what? 3,000 souls. Taking into consideration all those nations, all those people, and of all of those, 3,000 were saved. I don't know how many were there, but God saved who he desires to be saved. Have I got to wait? And in verse 3-4, it says, and they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayer. So once they repented, once they're saved, once they've been baptized, they are to continue in apostles' doctrine with the word of God. That's how they begin to rely on the Holy Spirit. That's how they begin to grow. That's how they begin to find their lane of who they should minister to. And realize it's not up to them who's going to be saved, but it's up to the Lord to be saved. It's up to us by faith to go and witness, amen, and rely on God. And it says in verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and in all things come. Verse 45, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted to them all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. In other words, they were glad to be saved, and they were glad that other people were saved. And they had a fellowship on a regular basis. In verse 47, what did he do? Praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord did what? Added to the what? The church daily as what? Should be saved. In other words, when you fellowship with God, you do what God says. You can trust and believe that God is going to deliver those that need to be saved. We got to narrow our focus doing what God wants us to do. Amen? Continue in the fellowship. Continue teaching. Continue in using our gifts. Amen? So at the end of the day, amen, God will add to the church and should be saved. Amen? And we should rejoice that heaven rejoices over one soul. We said it was 3,000 we didn't know. But heaven rejoices over one soul. So it might not be a lot of people. Amen? But you'll have the joy of the Lord knowing that you carried out his will for you and your ministry in life. Amen? That's just the history of the church, what we should be doing. So this is a refreshing that we need to start back witnessing. We need to start back fellowshipping, that we need to start telling people that they need to repent, to be baptized, and that they need to continue in fellowship and to rely on the Holy Spirit. And when we do those things, we'll do what's pleasing in the sight of God. Amen? This is how the church started. This is what God said for them to do. This is how they carried it out. So let us narrow our focus. Amen? Of going and telling people to repent. Keep whatever is in their hand. Repent and be baptized. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and shall be what? Saved. Amen? That's what it's all about, church. We need to focus. We need to get back to that simple, that basic obedience to what God wants us to do. Amen? And God will do what he'll do. Amen? As far as adding to the church. Y'all with that? Amen. We started a fast. Amen. So what we want to do is we want to continue our fast until the third Sunday in August. And between now and then, what we want to do is we want to call everybody that we knew, man, that we know, amen. And on the third Sunday in August, amen, we want to have a fellowship, amen. We want to invite those, amen, that may not know God to come to church during that morning service. And after service, amen, we'll have a fellowship, amen. And we'll be able to receive a refreshing from God. We'll break our fast, amen. And we'll get back online, get back in track. Call some of those folks. They got off track. I don't know if someone has, still has a old church in it, amen. And ask them, what are they doing in ministry? Where are they at? Come back to fellowship with us, amen. That we would be able to be on one accord, amen. Their ministry might be speaking in another language to somebody else over there, but if they're not, and God intends them to be here, amen, now is the time for them to be refreshed and to be back here. Y'all tracking with me on that? And so that's between now, this Sunday, amen, the fourth Sunday to the third Sunday in August, amen, is our time, amen, to reach out, amen, to talk to those. Tell them we're having a fellowship after church on the third Sunday. We might have some hot dogs, hamburgers, chicken, or whatever. Amen. But we want to have a fellowship. Amen. And that's what they did. They continue to have fellowship. We used to have fellowship, I think, like once a month in first start. Is that right? Yeah. Amen. We used to have fellowship once a month. Amen. And so we want to get back to that fellowship and talking with each other, ministering, going out, telling people about the goodness of Jesus, amen, and watch God be faithful and true to his word, amen. Watch him. Watch what he's going to do, amen. Watch how he's going to move, amen. But we all need to get responsible. We need to take down this instruction, and whoever started from day one, let's call them, let them know, hey, you might be doing this, you might be doing this, and if you're not doing that, and you're not doing that, and you're not in that ministry, you're doing that ministry, amen. Come back and start, amen, like we started at the beginning, amen. Telling people about the goodness of Jesus, not worrying about what everybody else is doing, but coming together and doing what God says for this church to do. Amen? Y'all with that? Amen. Amen. Sorry to keep you so long. But we wanted to give you a refreshing, amen, that God is still going to do what he said he's going to do. Amen? All right. We're going to get ready to have our communion service. Amen. Going to read our church covenant. And again, one of the things that we look forward to doing is fellowship and with our church covenant, with being baptized, people baptized, people being saved, staying focused on that, teaching the word of God, how they can apply it to their lives, so their lives can be joyous, amen, because of the change that the Holy Spirit will put inside of them, the power of the Holy Spirit will allow them to make a change for their families and their lives. And let us stick to that basic, let us stick to that basic. Stick to that basic, amen. Then we can stay focused and not be led astray by what all the things in this world are trying to lead us astray. So let us focus on the good news of Jesus Christ, the wonderful works of God. So if you're looking for a title of this sermon today, it will be about witnessing about the wonderful works of God. Witnessing about the wonderful works of God. Okay. Let's read our church covenant today. Covenant, having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, we do now in the presence of God, angels in this assembly, will solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote his prosperity and spirituality, to sustain his worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrine, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. He's also engaged to maintain family and secret devotion, to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagement, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, to be filled with the Spirit and not drunk with wine, wherein in his excess, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling, courtesy and speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation, and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some of the church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. It's a powerful covenant. The church is instructed to follow that we would know how to deal with each other and those that are in the world. Amen? Amen. All right, we now come to our communion. We thank God for the seventh communion in the year of our Lord, 2023. Amen. We thank God, amen, that he has blessed us down through the years that we are able to come and do what he left on record for us to do. And that's another thing. They continue to break bread, continue to baptize, they continue to preach and teach. They continue to stay focused on talking about the wonderful works of God, and they had everything in common, and they shared and helped each other. And this is what the family of God should be about. We need to get back to that. We need to get refreshed in doing that again. Amen? So let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for allowing us to come one more time to do what you have left on record for us to do, and that is to observe your communion. God, we pray that you would bless this bread that symbolizes your body that was broken. Bless this cup, the fruit of the vine, that symbolizes your blood that was shed for the remission of sin of many. And bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, precious is that blood that makes me white as snow. No other sound I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. One can walk away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blood. Makes me white as snow. No other sound I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. For the blood of Jesus. The only sound. Take the wash and white as snow. And we talk about the wonderful works of God, Lord have mercy. When we narrow our focus down to what it really means, the wonderful works of God, that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's the wonderful works of God that we need to tell this community. We need to tell our neighbors. We need to tell wherever we go. Amen. That's our ministry. Amen. Everything else, God will take care of. He'll give you the power. He'll give you the strength. He said, don't you worry about what I'm supposed to take. You do what you're supposed to do. Amen, church?
Amen.
Let us remember that during the Old Testament, God instituted the old covenant, old promise through Moses, when God's children were delivered from the hand of Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. At the night when they were to be delivered, God told them to take the blood of an animal and goat or lamb and spread it on the doorpost and lift. When the tenth plague came, the death angel would see the blood and pass over, and they would be spared from the penalty of death. So they observed this until the night when Jesus was betrayed. And that night he was betrayed, he became our Passover lamb. And that night he sat down with his disciples and he took bread and he blessed him. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. He said, eat it in remembrance of me. Let's eat together. In like manner, after they had supped, took the cup of the fruit of the vine, he said, this is my blood of the new testament, of the new covenant, for the remission of sin of many. Often be drinking in remembrance of me. Let us drink together. And the records say they did not have a benediction, but they went out to the Mount of Olives and they sang a hymn. As we go out, let us sing our hymn and I'll be a witness about wonderful works of God. God bless you. And have an ever child upon you. Oh, precious is that flow. Think about our online folks. That washed me white.